Hey everybody, today's episode is brought to you by Chipotle. Look, life is full of mysteries. Like, how did a movie about sharks in a tornado get made three different times? Or how does some fast food beans get made with silicon dioxide? You hear that? Silicon dioxide. I mean, who knows? All I know is that Chipotle serves beans that are seasoned with chipotle chili, garlic, cumin, and oregano. Chipotle, mystery-free food. All right, today's sponsor is Zevia, the zero-calorie, naturally sweetened soda that is clearly different. No sugar, no calories, and non-GMO Project Verified makes this a healthier soda option and a win for you and your family. Zevia is available in 15 delicious flavors like cream soda, black cherry, cola, ginger ale, and even a tonic water. Always zero calories. And did I mention they make excellent mixers? So yeah, what are you waiting for? Go to Zevia.com/podcast. That's P-O-D-C-A-S-T. Because Zevia is giving away thousands of free six packs, right? And you never know. You could come home one day to a surprise soda at your doorstep. Whoa, what's that? You never get anything for free, except you do when you sign up at Zevia.com/podcast. So head to Zevia.com/podcast, get your free six pack or the hope of a free six pack. That's Zevia, Zevia.com/podcast. Also, I'm reminding you to check out Crash Test. It's the only comedy special on a moving bus. Me, Rob Hubel, a special appearance by Bob Duca, Tom Lennon and Ben Grant reprising their Reno 911 characters. Also, a musical performance by Earl Sweatshirt, Aziz Ansari, Aubrey Plaza, and Rob Corddry. All of that for only $3.99. Go to Vimeo In Demand right now. That's Vimeo In Demand. Come on, pick up a copy. Do it for Paul. That's me.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, that's my best impression of Hans Gruber from the Die Hard movies. What does that have to do with our next sponsor? Absolutely nothing. Here's the deal. Hal FM, that's going to be your new favorite place. Bookmark it, motherfuckers. Hal.fm. What is it? Okay, basically, it's a depository for everything that you love podcast related. It has every episode of How Did This Get Made, even the secret ones. It also has everything from Earwolf, plus it has all of Marc Maron's archives, plus it has all these amazing new shows, shows from Lauren Lapkus. That's right. She has an exclusive new show on Howl.fm. It's amazing. Howl originals are coming at you fast and furious. And you ask yourself, well, Paul, this seems too good to be true. I mean, I don't understand. How can I get this? Well, here's the do. Here is the do. No, here's the deal. Okay, you can get access to this amazing site and all of its content on your phone and on your desktop with Howl Premium for only $4.99 a month. Okay, and you use the promo code HDTGM to get a full month free trial. Check it out. I've been behind this and working with people here. It is awesome. You get everything that you ever wanted. And for I call you guys power podcast listeners, for people who are behind a desk and need time to be filled, this is right up your alley. You're going to get podcasts that no one else has even heard of. You're going to get backlogs to things that you haven't been had access to in a long, long time. And it's so good. You can use Howl on your phone and on your computer, but you have to use the promo code HDTGM to get that month free. So go to Howl.fm, that's Howl.fm, and use the promo code HDTGM for 1 month free of Howl Premium. Check it out. I think you're really going to like it. It's like Netflix for podcasts. Hey, everybody. Before we start the show, I wanted to remind you that Blake Harris has released yet another How Did This Get Made? How Did This Get Made? Over at Slash Film about Maximum Overdrive. So when you're done listening to the podcast, listen to Blake. Well, read Blake on Slash Film.
Stephen King might have said, what if machines became sentient and I did this entire bag of cocaine? We saw Maximum Overdrive, so you know what that means.
Remix! How did Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly? Rock a rhinestone vest while ripping Justin to Kelly? Or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with Speed 2 hitting cruise control? J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Random games of Street Fighter helped to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado, the Birdemic, how we staying alive? They call it in the badass, and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes, cause they cool as ice. Cause the bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal, Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you, how did this get made?
Welcome! Hello, people of Earth! And hello, people of Largo! We are live at the amazing Largo at the Coronet in Los Angeles. The best place in LA. We do our show here all the time because it's so awesome. We are so excited to be here with you in great sound quality. So we have fixed those issues and we are back on track. I will say, and it sticks with me, that people who reminded me, hey, that sound quality was shitty. This is how you get a real recorder. As if I didn't know. We didn't understand that we didn't have a shitty recorder. Right? We got it. Thank you. Thanks for the tip. As always, I am joined by my two fabulous co-hosts. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas.
What's up, jerks? Jerks. Jerks. Jerks.
And June Diane Raphael.
June.
Hi, Paul.
Welcome you both.
It's great to be here.
Oh, somebody just went, oh. Like, oh, they're all three here. I didn't know.
You wanted the best, you got the best.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna come and get you down. You're the best around.
Joining us tonight, a very special guest, the star of the fantastically funny review on Comedy Central. Please welcome Andy Daly.
Thank you. Woo! Happy to be here.
Wow, wow, wow.
What a treat.
Hello, Andrew.
No one booed at me. Feels good.
Well,
you get enough of that at home.
Zing! Nailed it.
Boom, Daly, boom!
That is true. My family hates me.
Maximum Overdrive, the first and only movie directed by Stephen King.
Why?
With a musical score by AC/DC.
So good!
I love that.
Yes. It's hard to hate a movie with AC/DC doing the score.
It's very hard to hate it.
And by the way, they make a sort of a cameo in the AC/DC mobile.
Yep.
Oh, there was yeah,
a
right.
There's a van on the bridge in the opening scene. Yeah. AC/DC van.
The AC/DC mystery machine shows up.
They're just, Angus Young is just out solving mysteries. In his schoolboy uniform.
I never had seen this film. I had seen the poster, which was Emilio Estevez with a shotgun and like that Joker mask, and I thought this movie was something different than this stupid thing was.
What did you think it was going to
be?
Yeah,
what did you think?
I thought it was a killer truck. Like, I thought it was like
Chris. That would not have been stupid. It is a killer truck.
Well, it is, but it isn't too.
Wait, like, Christine is a Stephen King story, right?
Yes.
And that's about a killer truck. So do you think he made that? He wrote that, rather. It got made. And then he was like, you know what? Not enough trucks in this movie. It's like Pretty in Pink and then Some Kind of Wonderful.
I have more to say about Cars That Come to Life.
Yeah, and I feel like I did it wrong. I could do a better version of it because I could also have Planes Come to Life and...
Sprinklers?
Well, I will say that... That's my big question to lead off this conversation.
Yes.
There seems to be a slight problem in what is coming to life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certain machines come to life.
Certain cars
come to life.
But not all cars come to life.
Here's what's interesting.
Not all at all.
Why does the car... Now, are we to presume that things that... can only be controlled are things that are empty? Because any car that someone is driving isn't taken over. Like when Yardley Smith and her husband are driving,
that car's
never taken over.
But there are a lot of other cars we see along the way. At the end, we see a woman's been killed in her car.
By the Ooh. Window, you assume.
Yeah.
And no spoiler here, but I feel like because I don't know if I should bring this up the ending now, but they escape. On a boat.
On a motorboat.
Right. Which is a machine.
It's a machine. And that's their whole plan. All we gotta do is get to a boat.
Right. So it seems to me that the movie doesn't quite understand what is coming alive. Because then I'd argue a sprinkler is not a machine.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I agree, a sprinkler is not a machine.
Well, now, wait a minute. Why is that?
Because a sprinkler, there's no electricity to turn on a sprinkler.
Yeah.
That's not the requirement of a machine.
Wait a minute. Are you booing? Do you think sprinklers are electric?
They understand machines predate electricity.
No, because here's the thing. Cars are controlled,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
Lawnmowers, controlled.
Makes
so
sense.
So it seems like anything that maybe has a motor... Anything that maybe
hair dryers.
Hair dryers?
How did that hair dryer get out of, what did the hair dryer do?
I think it strangled her.
The electric
knife? It strangled her.
The electric knife that, cuts the waitress?
That waitress.
Is a bicycle.
That waitress.
Not a machine?
Yeah, bicycle, not a machine.
In my opinion, a bicycle's a machine.
Well, I guess that's the thing. Are we talking about things that have a microchip in them?
A gun?
A gun?
A gun is apparently machine enough to be controlled.
You're right.
No, that gun was being controlled by the machine that was the vehicle.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
That gun wasn't being controlled
on its own. So you think if that machine gun had just been sitting on the ground,
damn thing.
No problem.
There's an arsenal under Dixieland, and nothing happens to those guns.
True.
Well, here's the other thing. Just to talk about...
I could do this for 1 hour.
Yeah.
Conservatively.
How it's all going to come down to...
Is fill in the blank a machine?
Well, because my...
No looking up the word machine. Go ahead.
My issue was, how do these things see? Because we imagine they're just running because they're seeing it out of I guess my issue is, there at one point, the truck shoots its rear view mirror back to kind of spy.
As if the driver needs to see.
Exactly.
But there is no driver.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So I do think I know the answer. I feel like we're being a little pedantic about what is blah, blah, blah. I think the answer is very obviously clear. It's cocaine.
Now,
is cocaine a machine?
Cocaine will make you work like a machine.
Yeah.
The cocaine is not... a myth. It's not a theory. It is a fact. Stephen King has come out and said, I was on so much cocaine during this film that I don't remember directing it. So that is nothing to debate.
What's
that
great
is there.
About this movie is that the machines, it begins with the bank sign saying, fuck you.
Yes.
And the ATM calling someone an asshole. I'm in.
I'm 100%.
That someone is Stephen King.
Yes.
And his Hitchcockian cameo.
Yep.
He was like, people are going to wonder if I'm going to turn up in this movie. I'm going to take them out of their suspense right away and do it in the first minute of the movie.
I'll be the cold open.
But can I say...
Fade in on me.
Stephen King. King's statement about cocaine is not fair to cocaine.
And cocaine abusers.
You could make a decent movie on cocaine.
Oh, I think many of people did.
Oh, yes. And just all of the 70s. Just ask all of the 70s.
He don't blame cocaine.
Although I think Heaven's Gate might argue with you.
That's the point at which too much cocaine.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a crazy movie for many reasons. And for those of you who don't know and have not seen the film, it really takes it. It's like a one-act play, or it could be done on stage. You could do this play on stage to a certain extent.
This is a great idea.
So that's what we're going to do.
Playing the part of the waitress, June. Emilio Estevez, Andrew Daly.
Who am I, Emilio Estevez? I'm Bill.
Bubba, Jason Mantzoukas.
That's the role.
Hey, and Bubba. Curtis by Paul Scheer. Let's just start off with the idea of, I really want to get into the opening and closing titles, yes. But we'll take the opening one first.
Oh, good.
The opening text. The movie opens with this title. It says, on June 17th, 1987, at 9:47 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, already way too much information, the Earth passed into the extraordinarily diffuse tail of Rhea M, a rogue comet. According to astronomical calculations, the planet would remain in the tail of the comet for the next 8 days, 5 hours, 29 minutes, and 23 seconds. That is the only title card.
Yeah. If only this level of specificity had been brought to some of the other aspects of the film.
That is, that's how we start the movie. And I was,
which I immediately was like, I'm in. I'm in. I get where we're at.
You had me at extraordinarily diffuse.
Finally. Finally, somebody is making a movie about Rhea M. You guys know Rhea M. First name, Daya. Diarrhea. Come on!
I would say, here's the other thing too. Stephen King has often been, his books have been made into films, miniseries. I'm enjoying June laughing at diarrhea.
I really gotcha.
It really did. Yeah. June is not one to laugh at body humor.
Is this also the work of the comet?
I would say that, you know, Stephen King's books have been translated into miniseries movies, and people are like, it's not as good as the book. It's not as good as the book. But there's a title card here that says, interpreted for screen and directed by Stephen King. Like, this is him going, oh yeah, I can make this. And it doesn't make any sense.
No, this movie is... it's the same. It's interestingly, it's the same setup as The Mist.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Basically. Yeah. Except it's. Oh, I feel like, and Stephen King is guilty of this in a great way of being like, oh, here's my movie about sentient cars. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Here is my movie about sentient cars. Here's my movie about people trapped in a grocery store, rest stop, whatever. No, I'm sorry. Here is my movie about people. It really is. He's always honing an idea, but he's putting his first draft out there. And then he's like, oh, wait, I'm going to do that same exact thing, but I'm going to do it a little bit different over here.
He's not like Harper Lee. We don't got to wait 50 years for the first draft.
Finally, though, a good Harper Lee book.
I like the dad so much more.
So, at the end of the day, though, are we to believe that all of this trouble was caused by this gravitational pull?
Well, I believe two explanations are actually offered in the film.
Yeah.
Okay. One is that this is a random occurrence having to do with a comet that happens to pass by us.
Yeah.
That seems to be the theory for the first three quarters of the film.
Yeah.
Then we get a new theory, which is that this is all the design of an alien race that is using our machines to destroy us so they can come and take over our planet.
But I will add that theory was given to us by a man who is just exhausted and has no knowledge. It's almost like just the babblings of a tired, overworked person.
Wait, was that the Bible salesman?
It has no basis in reality.
Indeed, and we should absolutely dismiss it until the ending title card when we're told that it's correct.
Well, I really did. I was on board for, and by the way, this movie is awesome. I was fully on board for, okay, Comet makes machines start, go,
acting
whatever.
Funny.
The minute the machine with a gun started doing Morse code, I was like, no, 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 no. We don't do this. We don't. There is no, like, logic to this. This is just chaos.
Well, I mean, again, I have my big issue with the film, and there are many, is that for whatever reason, there must be millions of gas stations in the country, yes, in the world, where these machines are all coming alive. Like, just all of them congregate at this one gas station and seem to just drive in a circle nonstop.
I couldn't understand why they just didn't do what they do at the end. All drive into the truck stop.
That
was explained.
You guys get it.
Oh, yeah, wait. Oh, okay.
That was explained at one point. I had that question for a while, but Emilio Estevez at some point goes, see, these are the big boys. They can't drive in here because then they would crash through the floor. That's Got the it. Reason the 18-wheelers can't drive through the ceiling, because they
but
would crash through the floor.
How do they even know about the floor?
What? Like,
you don't think these 18-wheelers have some rudimentary understanding of the architecture of the gas station?
Well, they're not Optimus Prime. It's not like a bunch of Optimus Primes are out there ready to drive around like an 18-wheeler and then turn into like a really smart, heroic robot with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
No, these are just trucks that are moving. That, like, I feel like in an effort to make them seem more menacing, they inexplicably put a face on one.
That I'm
expecting... Oh, just put a Green Goblin's face on one. Who cares?
That I was expecting that face to move. It
Never
does not.
Did.
No, the eyes glow red, though.
I guess.
I think Stephen King might have thought it was moving.
Again, unfortunately, I think any question we come up with about this movie ends with the answer cocaine.
I will say that I hope you guys have been enjoying our How Did This Get Made? Of How Did This Get Made? That Blake Harris has been writing. They're available on Slash Film. He has done another one for this that is mind-blowing. To the point of people were blinded on this movie. People were...
When they got gasoline in their eyes?
I'm compacting
the
story.
By the way, I know we're jumping ahead, yeah, but the pumping of the gasoline and the way it exhausted everyone.
Oh.
I honestly had to think to myself, I had to walk myself through it and think, okay, I've pumped gas in my car a number of times. It's not more exhausting to pump gas into like an 18-wheeler. I guess you're standing there for a longer time.
Wait, but the switch on it, like the switch that holds down the pump? I mean, you would imagine.
Emilio Estevez's hands are shredded by pumping gasoline for one day.
Why is it so difficult?
And it looks like they're switching off.
Yes.
It looks like there's a rotation in there. Yeah.
He's delirious from pumping gas on a somewhat hot day.
Under shade.
That is a problem.
I'm going to play the pumping gas montage here. I'll stop it midway, but you get the idea.
Better hear some fucking AC/DC.
Tell all your friends the main line's open.
So are we getting the sound here?
Yeah.
I got the best shit on the East Coast, practically uncut. You got that fuck face?
By the way, Emilio is talking to a truck.
The best acting partner he has in this film.
What's wild is that's literally the Green Goblin.
Yes. And then proceeds the fueling montage. AC/DC comes on.
Church bells ring inexplicably.
Well, I think that's AC/DC.
Are they a machine?
This could be a very long day.
And it's just shots of not even heavy exertion.
Just standing.
The thing, and they keep going back to the shot of the numbers going up, like price and gallon. They're not paying for gas. These truckers, there's no trucker. They're not paying for any of this.
A kid just gave a truck the middle finger.
For murdering his father.
And they have to tell the dumb trucks to keep on going. Like, get out of here, you're full. The truck should know that also, right?
The truck ought to know it's full.
Yeah, right?
The truck comes, the machine gun Jeep comes and says, give us all gas. Someone come out and put gas in us.
I know we've been driving around in circles for a couple days and it's our own fault we ran out of gas, but...
But come put gas in us, please. We won't hurt you.
I go back to that thing. These trucks just circle this gas station for no purpose.
No, it's this purpose. Okay, listen, this is what's going to happen. Okay, here's what's going to happen. The truck's going to come around. Trucks going around in circles, right? Going around in circles, truck's going to go around in circles. Hang on, I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going to come back out. We're going to figure this out. Okay, here's what's going to happen. Truck's got a face on it. Okay, here we go. That's what's going on.
There, one of the people who was blinded in one eye from this movie. There was a few injuries, but the guy who was blinded, Stephen King, insisted on putting real lawnmower blades in a lawnmower. And the director of photography said, well, we don't need that because you don't see the blades. You're just going to be seeing the lawnmower. And he's like, I don't care. Put real blades in it. And then the blades picked up something and shot shrapnel into some guy's eye. Oh. Which you
worth
see
it?
Sued the movie for $18 million.
Really?
And it was settled out of court for an undisclosed amount.
$18 million.
Wow.
Can I just say, fuckface there reminded me, I jotted down a few of the better insults from this movie.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
including... Puss bag?
Yep.
Somebody has called a puss bag. Somebody has called a low-down scumball. And this one, I don't know if I wrote it down right because it seems so improbable, but I believe someone is at some point told, get out of here, you happy asshole.
Okay, I just want to say someone is called a puss bag, yeah. But that entire sentence is, oh. You want to rock and roll with me, puss bag? it's said by the Bible salesman. You want to rock and roll with me, puss bag? I was like, pause. Rewind. Right? Like, there are wild things.
Oh, I mean,
all of the waitress's dialogue is straight up crazo.
Yeah.
I mean,
the waitress in this movie.
We made you! We made you! Where's your sense of loyalty? Yeah.
Don't you understand?
Well, I think we got to play that.
I have to see this. I need to watch this 5 times in a row.
This performance is
amazing.
Phenomenal.
It's amazing.
Phenomenal.
Amazing.
This deserves an Academy Award for hair alone.
All right.
By the way, that bow stays with her the entire journey.
Yes, until her death. Spoilers for this movie.
Just if you don't remember, this is the waitress that was attacked by a cutlery, an electric cutter.
An electric knife, yeah.
Which seemed like a big deal when it happened, but not so much later.
It got her arm?
Yeah.
It got her arm and then cut her in the foot.
The shot of the knife running towards her white sneakers, like, nah, 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 like a toy on the ground. All right, here we go.
They can't. They can't.
Now look, honey, you gone and hurt yourself. Now come on, sweet thing.
Don't you sweet thing me!
I want it, June, baby. Just
they can't. We made them. You can! We made you! We're some loyalty, you beauty thing! We made you!
We made you. I would like a How Did This Get Made logo or something that just says we made you.
But here I have to quote AC/DC. Who made who?
It's so true. It does seem like each one of our main characters reaches their breaking point with these machines. They all seem to, at some point, just like get fed up with the situation. And this is... this is her point, you know.
This is Stephen King's.
This is Stephen King's
criticism of the Industrial Revolution.
Well, it's interesting because a part of me was like, did she make them?
My issue with this diner and everyone in it is they're all horrible people. There is not a single person here that is likable. And he, like, Emilio, I guess, is the most likable.
He doesn't have much to say in this film.
No. You would think he is, like, the star of the film. It's arguable.
It really is. I think the movie belongs to his boss. That's really the guy.
Oh, that guy was amazing. Bubba, yeah.
Oh, see, to me, I feel like it's the little boy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the story of that little boy because he does so much with saying so little. His performance is fantastic.
That scene, a very memorable scene after he finds out his father's died. The next time we see him, he's sitting in a booth, forlornly blowing bubbles. What else does a little boy do to process pain?
By the way, this truck stop. I am fascinated by truck stops in general. And so I was excited to see a movie that took place mostly in a truck stop. But there are so many truckers in this movie. I think one of the bigger problems with the movie is there's too many people. I think if they lost like four, if they lost four of those guys, I can't tell one from the other. They all look exactly the same to me. They don't have any characteristics that are defining. If they lost four of them, it would be a much better movie.
Well, when the machine gun shows up, a number of truckers are happy.
Well, yes, that's like, it should be more like an Agatha Christie, like, you know, 10 Little Indians or something like that, where it's like, ooh, one gets killed off at a time. But no, they just like, they get to about 20 minutes before the end of the movie, like, oh, let's just kill like 75% of the cast. Like, yep. Brop, done.
But then there's one shot where they're all running away in a line during the escape sequence. And I was like, there have been that many people in there?
Yes.
There was more than that many people.
Yeah, a lot of them were killed. The one thing, too, about, again, machines, going back to machines, not to harp on machines, they get to, like, a takeout, like a McDonald's, like, takeout, where you would order and be like, hey, can I get a fries and burger, whatever. Like, they get to that, and when they get to that at one point, the machine goes, human alert. But those things don't have voices in them. The voices of the human being amplified through it. Like, that's not a... Like,
I think
it's
you're thinking
like,
too hard about this, Paul. Again, cocaine...
Human alert.
Cocaine
human
makes
alert.
That okay.
But also, who's hearing that message? It's not all that loud. Yeah. It'd probably be heard by about 10 other machines. But also interesting to me that it's not clear whether the people in the gas station are perhaps the last humans alive on Earth in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Yeah.
But also that in this world, the only thing that humans, that the machines cannot do is pump their own gas. Yep. Other than that, they can do everything else.
Yes. Well, everything else is just running down humans. Because, by the way, they're always running from these Mack trucks. Just make a left. Make a right.
Just like stay indoors.
Just make a left or a right. You can't turn. You can't hard turn a 16-wheeler. It's not like that's not like the most like. It's not like it's being chased down by a Segway. Like it has no turning radius. Like to watch a 16-wheeler turn around.
Stephen King is like Segway. Sentient Segways.
My second directorial debut. But that's the thing that's always so funny is like they are caught by these seemingly slow moving, bulky vehicles. Just
well, that's the thing. Like
right.
Like even when the kid is like he wants to sneak in to the truck stop and he's like trying to figure out can I get in through the sewer or whatever. The trucks are just doing this.
Just run around them.
You can run through. It's like Frogger.
Yeah,
but like a million times easier because they're big giant trucks.
Well. Do we want to just talk about the newlywed couple?
Oh.
Yes.
Forever.
That guy, I was like, oh, that's Judge Reinhold. And Curtis looked it up and he wasn't, and I don't accept that.
Yes. No, he's definitely not quite Judge Reinhold.
Curtis.
He's somewhere between.
And Connie.
He's somewhere between Judge Reinhold and Austin Pendleton.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Now, Yeardley Smith plays the woman. She is the voice of Bart, right?
Bart Simpson.
Lisa.
Oh, Lisa. Sorry, sorry, Lisa. Sorry.
Really? Really?
Yes.
I thought it was Bart, too.
Yeah, see? Huh. Oh, Nancy Cartwright.
What's
sorry.
What's the difference?
Oh, shocking that this podcast audience knows the voice talent on The Simpsons. We get it.
They're going to a Simpsons Live podcast after this.
She, it's fair to say, is playing the Madeline Kahn role.
Oh, yes. She, by the way, I will talk about these. This is a freaky, weird couple.
She seems maybe 15. She seems quite young.
They look related. They look, on first glance, they look like they could be brother and sister. They also, one of the first things that he says to her is, can I watch you piss? Or some extent of that. She's like, I got to go to the bathroom. He's like, can I watch?
Well, they're married now, so he can indulge in all of his weird fetishes.
And then when they're at the diner, they seem to, are they fingering? Is he fingering her?
I don't know. Why is she laughing like that?
Because
she's laughing hysterically.
Oh, wait, that's what happens when I finger girls.
Oh, brother.
I think Yardley might have been saying, I'm making the choice that you're tickling me. And he was like, oh, no. I'm going to make it clear that I'm not.
They're a creepy couple, and I was okay if either of them died. I did not like them as a couple at all.
You didn't think they would be a good match for each other?
I mean, look.
I believe in those kids. I feel like they got a good relationship. They got it going on.
She look, was sort of comically shrewish, right?
Well, she's like, I'm not going to die on my wedding day. Oh,
she screams God. All of her lines
movie.
Are screamed.
Well, he's a brave sort. And they're not above, you know, when trucks are circling them. By the way, no one is above taking shits, getting fingered, fucking, eating off each other's faces.
That's what's so weird about this movie is the energy. After this happens, the energy, the vibe is like, well, yeah.
Emilio Estevez.
It's so strange. Nobody is shocked by this.
People are mowed down with a machine gun. And Emilio Estevez is just cracking jokes, man. He's just cracking jokes. He walks through, like, sewage. He gets raw sewage on his face. I don't ever see him take a shower. Oral fecal contact would have him throwing up for the rest of the movie.
Can you explain to me why any of that happened?
Why they went into the sewer?
Okay, why did they go into the sewer?
I think because they were trying to get to the Bible salesman.
They were trying to save the Bible salesman. Why did they go into the sewer?
Why not run
through the trucks and get them in the ditch?
Well, again, we don't know that.
Part of the reason I'm asking that is to get to the place where they then got to the sewer, they had to run past the trucks.
That's true. They should.
They had to evade trucks to get to an underground passage so that they could evade trucks. To reach a guy who was alive and then suddenly dead.
Yeah.
And that guy was kind of a dick.
He said to the little boy, if you don't pull me, I will kill you.
And then abruptly died. Salesman. He just and then just abruptly passed away.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I just looked at something here. A Walkman killed somebody in the death montage, the AC/DC death montage. This kid's just driving down a street on his bike and looking at the way people got killed. And one guy is just wearing a Walkman.
Oh.
And blood is like coming out of his ears.
Yeah. Apparently a machine.
Hey, that's AC/DC is the only music that can do that.
Now, why was there an arsenal underneath this truck stop?
Great question. I'll tell you, if I owned a gas station and owned a tremendous arsenal of weapons, the gas station is not where I would keep them.
Sure.
Yeah. No, if I've got like tons and tons of gas, I also don't want a bazooka nearby.
And I wrote down this. Isn't a bazooka a machine?
Yeah.
Here well, we go.
Like that bazooka should have been misfiring.
No, because guns are not powered by electricity.
Oh, here we go.
But neither are sprinklers.
But wait, but
here's
wait.
What I'm thinking about the sprinklers, you guys. I think we need to let go of them. I think that was just an odd thing that happened. I'm not. Wait, I can't factor like it was that just into going like on the rules of this movie.
Because it was just going on because they're watering their lawns.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think that sprinkler event was just like a fluke. It was just meant to.
But it was not a fluke because us. When the kid turned around, they all turned off, like as if to be like he's looking. Like I couldn't understand the what senses the machine hive mind had. You know what I mean?
Like right. I couldn't
tell
if
they were
able
to hear. It seemed to be able to see because they're like, well, how are we gonna pump gas? We don't even have power. Lights on, you know, power up. So like, I feel like it was arbitrary what it could do and what it couldn't.
Again, that would mean that a machine was in the circuit breakers. That was an alien because it wasn't like a truck went over to a circuit breaker. I was like, chink. Like, right. Like, again, we don't know what's a machine. Yeah. Everything is a machine.
Well, I think you have, here's the way, I think you have to imagine it. If we go with the idea that aliens are behind all of this, at the same time, there is this gravitational pull because of Rhea M. So I,
Daya. Diarrhea so, BM.
So I think what the aliens are doing is somehow turning these machines on and off with gravity.
We're listening.
Okay. The aliens can hear and they can see.
Okay.
Okay, but they are not here with us on Earth. Okay.
So are you
but
picturing
the way
like,
that they so I don't so in terms of the sort of conscious hive, I don't know where that exists. I don't know where that is, but I think how they're doing this is through the force of gravity.
So you're saying that gravity, in addition to controlling all women's periods, is also no, that's not gravity. That's whatever. I can't believe I just lost everybody.
You're in a very strong.
Are we to understand, though, that they are using gravity to control the machines, to eradicate human beings, to ultimately populate our planet?
I think so.
Yeah. The machine, though, when they do, all of our machines will be dormant. Like they're not represented by our machines, right? Like these trucks aren't the embodiment of this alien species.
I don't think
well,
so.
Well, that's a question because they seem to have a personality, right? With the
do all the machines share one personality?
What?
Do all the machines share one personality?
No, because I would say the question. Sprinklers, no, because I would say the sprinklers, if we're going to call them machines now,
they were more playful than
light.
The truck.
Yeah. Yeah. Seemed a little more easy breezy.
But that electric knife was a real asshole.
And the remote controlled car that killed that dog. Jumped in that dog's mouth.
That was great.
Another movie where a dog is killed. That makes three for how did this get made? Dogs tossed into water.
But I like that. I like that tableau because you know dogs chase after cars all the time. Little remote controlled cars.
The car got back.
And I like that we don't see it. We just see the aftermath. The car said, "Fuck you." That was an effective moment for me.
I feel like, by the way, this movie is gruesomely bloody, and it's a movie where you see a what do you call it? Oh my gosh, the thing with a book, not bulldozer, but
steamroller.
Yep. You see a steamroller heading for a kid, and you're like, well, the kid won't get hit by a steamroller. Like, oh, no. Oh yeah, he will. Yeah.
They're not going to follow up a guy getting hit in the nuts with a soda can by a child getting run over by a steamroller, are they?
Yes,
oh, yes, they are.
They will.
That guy's head gets caved in by a soda can. There was some grisly stuff in this movie.
Here is a thing about the movie. Stephen King has said many times the film was heavily cut to avoid an X rating from the MPAA. He claimed to have shown it to George Romero, and it made George Romero sick. An uncut version of the film has never been released on any format in any country. Stephen King holds the original print of the uncut version and has not released it in any format.
I feel like I can handle it.
It's like Faces of Death. Teenagers watch it at parties like, you gotta watch this, man.
What could that have been?
Because like, George Romero has a famously stomach of steel.
Yeah, a very strong constitution.
Can I ask you a question? So Emilio Estevez and the pretty hitchhiker girl fall in love.
The road twitch?
Yes, the road twitch. And they have a sex, they have a post-coital scene where I believe that he is licking the sweat off of her forehead.
Disgusting.
Off of her what?
Off of her forehead. He's like putting his finger on her forehead and being like... Like, and I just want to know, what the what is going on?
Is this the scene where we get the titular line?
No. We have the, I think the titular line is in when she puts the razor in her pants, right? Or maybe, I don't know.
In her boot?
In her boot.
But we'll play both.
Did she ever use that razor?
What?
Yeah, he uses it to cut Yardley Smith out of her seatbelt.
Oh, okay.
And this is, you know, this is the sexiest you can possibly get. By the way, for a movie with a lot of violence, you don't see any fucking at all.
No, just tender post-coital like love.
I did notice that there was full frontal nudity on photos in the background on a wall.
Oh yeah.
Which seemed like an odd
really?
Use of nudity.
Oh yeah,
film.
There is like a lot of like crotch, like right above them on this bed is like Playboy centerfolds kind of thing. But you don't even see boobs in this.
Let's take a look.
Heartbreakingly.
You sure make love like a hero.
You sure make love like a hero, she said. What does that mean?
They call him a hero a lot.
They don't use tongues to kiss. Just.
Now he just touches her head.
Yeah!
Ew, 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 ew.
Just licks her head.
Guys, what the fuck is that?
I think it's
what important. The fuck is that? Is there cocaine on her forehead? Did he just do a line off of her head and is like, oh, you got some coke on your forehead?
Well, in the very next scene, they seem to be eating cupcakes and he's also licking that off her face too.
There is some suit. They were for sure fucking on this movie.
Why not?
Well, it's interesting because when she first showed up, in the car and was, you know, introduced as a drifter, I thought she was really interesting and I was curious where yep. she was going to go. And she had a very, like, Annie Hall type look and I loved her costume. And then she arrived at Dixie's and changed into a pink top and pulled her hair down and she was a completely different person.
I watched this with my wife and she had a real issue with the wardrobe change too.
I was so upset about it.
She was like, where'd the hat go?
Such a great outfit.
Yeah.
Her second line to Emilio Estevez, who is conservatively 4 inches shorter than her, is you're cute. Like, something catastrophic is going on.
What's going on?
You're cute.
By the way, there's like a green pile of goo. Cloud hanging over this
a pile of what?
Pile of goo Bee. Cloud.
A pile of gooby.
Gooby.
Nobody mentions it. The entire movie.
No, she does. Oh
she
no,
does?
No. She suggests that it's because of Rhea M.
Oh yeah, she has a lot of knowledge about
she
this comet.
She has a theory about the comet.
She knows how long the
right.
comet is going to be
it's
around.
About the green, or if it's just about the comet in general.
She's the one who says all we have to do is survive for another 7 days. Yeah. I don't know anybody who knows how long a comet is going to pass over our Earth, let alone a road twitch.
a road
Wait,
twitch with a.
What does it? What does that mean? What is a road?
We same thing as pus road, bag.
We looked up road twitch and I could not find anything. Twitch
that mean?
Road. Is a logging road, but I thought like a road twitch is like a twitch is like a witch And a witch is kind of like a bitch, so she's like a road bitch, like she's like a hitchhiker or something. I mean, like, that's what I thought. I don't know.
You really did think about it,
you
though.
Did.
I did. I tried.
Which, I'll be honest, I didn't at all. I was like, yeah, road
Can
twitch.
Can I say
cool.
another thing about...
She looks like a road twitch. Totally. Nailed it.
Hey, everybody. We have to take a brief break in the show to give a shout-out to our sponsors and a big shout-out to Carrie Kurosawa. Matt, her husband, says, you're the best. And Carrie, I believe Matt, and I believe you. Carrie, thank you so much for living your life here on this planet. Happy birthday to you. I know it's belated, but what can you do? Carrie Kurosawa, you are today's best human in the world. And that's a close second. Now look, your season-long fantasy football team might be going strong, or you might be in the crapper already. But guess what? What if I told you don't have to wait until week 16 to get paid? Put your fantasy skills to the test every week this season at DraftKings.com. It's America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. It's awesome. I'm a big DraftKings guy. I just started doing it this year, started collecting my dues on it, and now I am gambling on my own football skills, all right? 1 week means no season-long commitments. You got an injured player? No problem. Like a new season every week. You're never stuck with the same players. And get this, DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week this season. You can turn your love into football into a life-changing payday. You pick your players, you pile up your points, and you pile up your cash, okay? That's it. You have never experienced football like this, all right? So check this out. It's not fantasy like you know it. It's one-week fantasy. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. So hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Use the promo code MADE, that's M-A-D-E, to play for free at a shot of $1 million, okay? One more time. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now and use the promo code MADE, that's M-A-D-E, to play for free for a shot at $1 million, okay? This is going to be amazing. Enter MADE for free entry right now only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. I'm not repeating it because I forgot it. I'm repeating it because you need to go. If you like fantasy football, you're going to love this. Hey, you. Yeah, you. You like the snack? Yeah, you do. Oh, you love it. But you feel bad about it, right? You're like, but I feel so gross afterwards. No, you don't have to. That one, there's Nature Box, okay? Nature Box is telling us to give in to the snacking temptation because they have delicious snacks, okay? Delicious, amazing snacks that come right to your door. And guess what? There's snacks that you want. Personalized snacking. And they're so good that they're going to change the way that you snack forever, okay? And there's zero chance of getting bored because they release brand new choices every single month. You get a box at your door, you open it up, it's like 10 little Christmases in there. It's like, what? No, for me, Nature Box is full of flavor, but without any of the junk. Just fun, flavorful snacks made with ingredients that you can trust. Plus, they have a smart snack guarantee. So if there's anything that you don't love, just let the helpful people at NatureBox know, and they'll replace it in your next box. It's easy. It's satisfying. It's snacking the way snackers need it. God intended it this way, and that's how we're going to snack. So go online to get your first box at naturebox.com/how. That's naturebox.com/how. Head to naturebox.com/how right now to unbox a world of taste. Impossibility. One last time, it's naturebox.com/how for your first box of Beyond Tasty hand-picked snacks. You're picking them, sent directly to your doorstep. And remember, they have a smart snack guarantee, which means it takes the risk out of snacking. Try something bold. See if you like it. If you don't, they'll replace it. It's just that easy. Finally, snacking made simple. naturebox.com/how. All right, here's the deal. We've talked about this, right? You work a hard day, then you're like, oh, I gotta make dinner, and you go to the grocery store, and you're like, oh, what do I make? I don't know. I'm uninspired. I need help. Oh, my God. Do I have to buy that much broccoli? Oh, my gosh. Where's the cumin? Guess what? Blue Apron's like, we got this, bro. We got it. Or
sis. Blue Apron delivers farm-fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your home, allowing you to create healthy and handcrafted meals without going to the grocery store. For less than $10 a meal, that's nothing. It's chump change. Blue Apron sends you fresh ingredients, perfectly proportioned, making cooking healthy, fun, and really easy. So no trips to the grocery store, no waste from unused ingredients. Plus, you'll learn to cook with specialty ingredients that are normally really hard to find. This is fun, actually. Blue Apron is perfect for date night, cooking with friends, and they even offer family plans with kid-friendly ingredients so the entire family can eat well and have fun preparing the meals together. And guess what? This is the best part. All the meals are like 500 to 700 calories per serving. It's so tasty, you would never even know that you're eating something so healthy, okay? And the cooking takes, I don't know, an hour. Shipping is flexible and free, and the menus are always new. They won't send you the same meal twice. They work around your schedule and dietary preferences, and Blue Apron's experts source only the best seasonal ingredients for incredible meals like, I don't know, oh, this is a good one. Heirloom tomato and Fontana grilled cheese sandwiches with Dijon dressed summer vegetables. Ooh, and this one. Tandoori spiced chicken with green lentils, heirloom eggplant, and cucumber mint yogurt. All right, you'll cook incredible meals and be blown away by the quality and freshness. It's Blue Apron. It is a better way to cook. Oh, and check out this week's menu, and you're going to get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/bonkers. That's B-O-N-K-E-R-S. Just go to blueapron.com/bonkers. That's my treat, really, okay? These first two meals are on me when you go to blueapron.com/bonkers. Seriously, guys, gals, what are you waiting for? Go to blueapron.com.
A very minor thing I noted about word choice in this film. At some point, the evil boss says something like, "Why are you being so obtuse, boy?" And I was like, oh, obtuse. And the only time I've ever heard that before was Shawshank Redemption. And then a little while later, that character uses it again. And it was at that point that I went, oh, Stephen King wrote Shawshank Redemption. This is a favorite word.
Well, I also thought there was something interesting about that boss played by Pat Hingle. His name is Bubba Hendershot. He calls everyone else Bubba.
Yes.
And everyone else calls everybody else Bubba. So there's a lot of, all right, Bubba, all right, Bubba. Now listen here, Bubba, Bubba. Everyone's calling each other Bubba. That's confusing as a watcher of a film when everyone's called by the same name.
Yeah. I agree.
Not the best choice. Now, people might have wondered how the movie got its name. Well, this is a scene that explains that.
Mother's helper.
He's looking at her razor.
A girl hitching her way down to Florida needs some protection.
Yeah? That's what you're doing?
Yeah. That's what I was doing before every machine in the world went into maximum overdrive.
She says she's scared.
She starts crying.
I'm scared.
That's the kind of 180 performance that most actors can't pull off.
This is almost a forced perspective shot where she is twice as large as him. On screen, she appears to be twice his size.
It's the best lit scene in the movie, though, I have to say.
And I wouldn't.
This is like a seventh grade boy dancing with an eighth grade girl.
He hugs her, and the next scene they are having sex. By the way, the one thing that's not shown here is when we are introduced to her, she is looking at photos on the desk, but really taking it in like, who's this boy? But it's like, that would be like me going to your house and looking at your photos. I have no emotional connection to that.
But that does remind me, we are looking for people to allow us to come to their house and look at their photos. So just contact us via Twitter. We want to come to your house and look through your photos.
I did have a question about this. I can't remember if it's in my notes or this is based on a true story, right?
Yeah. Except in reality, it was called Diarrhea.
Oh, yeah.
Ripped from the headlines.
Well,
In reality, it was 8 days, 5 hours, 29 minutes, and 28 seconds.
Well, the other thing, too, about this movie is the movie climaxes with them getting on this boat and escaping, and the Joker truck, which is the only recognizable truck, really, shows up at the end, which Emilio then fires a grenade, a rocket launcher out, and it blows it up. But that would mean something if that truck was overtly the meanest truck. Like, if the truck, if that was, in my opinion, it would be like, let's have that place being taken over just by one truck, one giant Mack truck, mm-hmm. and maybe the gun truck, and that's it. And then the end would have some sort of closure because, like, oh, he killed the bad guy.
But then we would have missed out on that funny scene where all that toilet paper got blown up.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
Toilet paper.
You fucking idiot.
By the way, that in that scene, that the truck with the face on it snuck up on a guy.
A Mack, a 16-wheeler.
Snuck up on a guy.
By the
I'm
way,
I'm gonna be real quiet as a giant truck.
Got that Prius engine in it. By the way, when they do go inside that truck, I guess the driver just has a jack-in-the-box on the inside.
That doesn't make any sense. Steven, I just saw in the script there's behind the driver of this 18-wheeler is a jack-in-the-box? Yeah.
Yep.
Why?
The toy company makes this famous jack-in-the-box.
Sure.
So he'd keep one back there where he sleeps.
But it's like built into the structure normally where he sleeps. Built into it is a jack-in-the-box?
And I want to build up a lot of suspense to pulling back the curtain, but I want the curtain so sheer that we can see it.
We can see it before.
Before he pulls it back.
How am I doing, guys? How am I doing? Am I doing a good job directing
Be
this
honest,
movie?
Am I being a good director right now?
I know I disappeared for a week, but... But I got some big ideas since I got back.
Which one
is this? Is this Charlie Sheen or the other one? It's the other one? Oh, okay, okay, got it.
I want to take a look. I want to come to the audience in a second, but I want to take a look at the final text here, which is they escape on the boat, and it says, 2 days after, a large UFO was destroyed in space by a Russian, in quotes, weather satellite, which happened to be equipped with a laser cannon and class 4 nuclear missiles. Approximately 6 days later, the Earth passed beyond the tail of Rhea M, exactly as predicted. The survivors of the Dixie Boy are still survivors.
So wait a second. The events of this movie are only 2 days long?
I guess.
No. Wow. No.
Because 6 days later, right? Wasn't it 8 days total?
2 days after.
Well, 2 days after. Let's see.
Math.
Okay.
We are officially working harder on this than Stephen King did.
Okay, yeah, so the comet would be there for eight days, 5 hours, 29 minutes.
So they escaped in 6 days later, so... 2 days. This whole movie takes place over 2 days.
Well, no, less than that. This movie, because they're saying that 2 days after they got on the boat,
yes,
the UFO
no,
was destroyed.
Days after they got on the boat.
2 days
after.
2 days after
they got on
UFO.
The boat,
yes.
The UFO happened. And then 6 days after that, that's 8 days.
I think we're uncovering why he put the word approximately in there. He was like, ah, fuck it, I don't know. Just play approximately.
Time is good. Time passes.
God, he was pretty specific with the time in the first card.
Down to the seconds.
Well, again, I want to break this down bit by bit. 2 days after, a large UFO was destroyed in space by a Russian weather satellite, in quotes, which happened to be equipped with a laser cannon and class 4 nuclear missiles.
All right. This sentence.
So he's
this
saying,
is some real Cold War shit, too.
Right, so he's saying that this weather satellite is actually like a Star Wars-esque
like a weapon
program,
system.
And it destroyed a UFO. Now, is the UFO with aliens? And are they controlling the comet?
How are you just now introducing a UFO? In the closing title card, or whatever this is.
And in the same sentence, positing to us that there are Russian satellites equipped with nuclear weapons.
Yes.
That's a big part of the story.
Yeah. Huge.
Who's controlling that satellite? I would have liked to have seen the Russians in this movie.
Well then, it's a machine.
So now... I don't know.
Is this an insurrection amongst their own machines?
Well, that's what I can't figure out. Is the UFO a part of this? Is that a byproduct of this? Is this just a coincidence? And then it says...
Well, I don't think it was a coincidence.
What's that? You think it's a coincidence?
No, I don't.
Oh.
Woody, I'm being serious, and I'm not trying to June you. I'm just saying, what do you think happened here? Because I don't know. Are they saying that the weather satellite acted like these trucks and mistakenly killed their master? Or are we saying that the Russians hit a button and then did it? Because I'm thinking that they killed its master. But then it doesn't make sense because...
Wait, you think the machines revolted against themselves?
By accident.
By accident.
I bet
because
you this
they
was
thought
all...
they were controlling a weather satellite, but it was actually a Star Wars weapon, and it killed their leaders.
No, that can't be true because there's no way that the machines never started killing other machines. So that machine, that weather satellite, wouldn't just start shooting at a UFO because a UFO would look like a machine.
I'm sure this is all made clear in the uncut version.
Well, then, so now if that was the only part of the end text, I'd be okay with it. What I'm confused by is the next part, which is approximately 6 days later, the Earth passed beyond the tail of Rhea M, exactly as predicted. So, is that what was responsible for it?
Yeah,
because now these are two different things we're talking
about.
That
seems to be saying that, yes, the comet's tail did this. But then the UFOs, now I'm inclined to believe the UFO was there coincidentally and was like, whoa, will you look at this shit? This shit's going crazy. Uh-oh, what's that thing over there? Uh-oh.
Why don't we believe that the aliens aboard the UFO are controlling the comet? The aliens,
wow.
Yeah,
wow.
The aliens sent the comet knowing that the comet has the capacity to control... The machines.
That's what I thought.
To allow them to control the machines.
Well, but then why is a UFO destroyed?
But there is some sense of sentience. There's some sense of sentience amongst the machines. So there must be a higher power, a god, or an intelligent design, or something, right? That is giving them Morse code.
Let me try this on. The satellites.
The Russian satellites?
Yes. It's being that it's perhaps it is above where the comet went. And so therefore it's immune to this machine business.
Okay.
Because it's not part of the gravitational pull. Go on.
Right.
Go on.
And the Russians are hunkered down in the Kremlin going, what the fuck are we going to do about this? They figure out the problem
first,
and they say, "Well, we got."
So this is a pro-Russian movie. This is a movie in which the Reds are heroes.
What I'm saying is, the KGB came to the rescue in this movie and used one of their quote-unquote weather satellites to shoot down the UFO.
But how would their equipment even work? Because the machines have controlled that equipment.
Because it's above the
ground. No.
You're saying their machines that communicate with the weather
satellite.
That's
what I'm saying.
How are those working?
Somebody just like bothers that they don't speak Russian.
I mean, this is really... This is a degree of analysis that I am 100% certain has never been applied to this movie, even by the people that made it.
And then finally, this last line, the survivors of the Dixie Bay are still survivors.
So they're immortal. These events have made them immortal. They have survived everything. They're Highlanders.
So they lived on, but I guess what I'm unclear about is, so everything went back to normal after 6 days?
Did they stay? I don't know.
Because what the second paragraph hypothesizes is,
by the way, you're right, that's unclear.
then it wasn't like the aliens were going to take over. It was just the 6 days.
By the way, as predicted by the first title card. There's no scientists in this movie.
No.
The only person that seems to know anything about the fucking comet is a road twitch. Which, forgive
me. Maybe twitch means scientists.
Which, forgive me, but I'm not going to trust a road twitch vis-a-vis astrophysics. Give me a Neil deGrasse Tyson, not a road twitch. Although next season of Cosmos is hosted by a road twitch. And I'm your host, Road Twitch.
Before we go into the crowd, well, you know what? I'll go into the crowd. The first question I want to ask the crowd, has anyone read this short story that can help shed some light on this movie?
I think you might have had some people with the first part of that question.
Did you read the story?
Yeah.
You have. Can you explain anything that is left out? I'm going to get a mic to you. There's no comet. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's no comet story. It just opens on this gas station, and they're surrounded by trucks. There's no weapons they can fight back with. There is still the Morse code scene.
Okay.
Why are the machines behaving this way? No explanation?
Spoilers for the short story.
Uh-oh, hang on.
Wait a second.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Don't fuck us.
Guy, I'm 2 pages in. Guy, come on.
It's a 3-page short story.
Wait, are you being serious? It's a 3-page short story?
It's very short.
Stephen King's an asshole.
This is one of Stephen King's best pamphlets.
This is a Bazooka Joe rapper. All right. So, yes, go ahead.
It ends with the main character speculating that the factories are still going to keep producing new trucks because he's thinking, oh, everything's going to rust and we'll finally be free. But then they'll start paving over swamps. They'll pave over the ocean. It's a really...
Are they going to pave paradise and put up a parking lot?
So, in the... Well, that's amazing. In that version... Wow, geez. In that version, the trucks don't need humans to pump gas because they can make their own trucks and do everything. I'm going to give you... What?
There's the pumping gas scene.
I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you a big comic book. You can read that and enjoy... All right, let's get to some things that we might have missed. Who has a question? Anything at all? Anybody have a question? All right, great. Over here. Sir, your name, what you would have called this movie, and your question. Here we go.
My name is Ryan. I would probably go with something along the lines of, like, Skynet.
Okay.
The machines are fighting back.
Sure, got it. Steal from Terminator.
Yeah. My question is, at the end of the movie, when they're leaving and the trucks go nuts and decide to finally drive in, which they should have done a long time ago, and they're blowing everything up, why is the bulldozer just repeatedly driving over that one car? Like, is it really pissed off at that car?
It's a slower machine.
Is that
I don't know. Yeah, why? Yeah, why?
Bulldozer why, hates that point. Car. Yeah.
Why is it only driving over one? Why does it only have a vendetta on Bubba's car?
They have an old beef.
And arguably, Bubba's car is on their side.
I think in the world of sentient cars, bulldozers are kind of dumb.
Yeah.
They're dumb and they hate kids. All right, sir, your name, your movie title, and your question, go.
All right, my name is Jordan. My movie title is Pork and Torque.
Like it a lot.
And my question is, did you guys draw any correlations between Tremors and this movie?
Interesting. No. Tremors.
Did you?
Fuck yeah.
Your question might as well have been, I'd like to talk about Tremors.
Tell us succinctly your issue.
My only issue is that Kevin Bacon's not playing the Emilio Estevez character.
So it's the exact same movie with giant snakes?
Yes.
Worms. Aren't they worms?
You get a sticker for that. All right, there you go. Enjoy it. We'll have to watch
yeah, there's
Tremors.
Similarities, but Tremors was a good movie.
Yes, your name, your title for your movie, and your question.
My name is Nick. I would call it Pure Uncut.
Ooh, nice. Double meaning.
My question.
Because nobody is circumcised in the movie.
That's why it got the X rating.
Yep. That's what Stephen King meant. He's like, I want all uncircumcised dongs in this movie.
So we kind of assume, or at least I assume from that end card, that at some point Dino De Laurentiis was like, Steve, I love you. I love doing coke with you. We can't shoot a UFO blowing up. We can't do that. What else do you think they put the kibosh on? Because it seemed like with the goblin truck, it's like full of toys. And you're like, oh, man, when those toys get out of that truck, crazy stuff's going to happen. So what else were they like, we can't do it, Steve?
Oh, that's interesting. What else? You get some stickers, too. What else could they have done? I mean, again, what's a machine? I don't know.
They didn't do much with that plane. That plane flew by the kid. What? Yes, it is a North by Northwest reference, yes.
We later saw a plane. There was a plane sticking out of a truck, and it was one of those shots. It's just they just passed by a plane sticking out of a truck. Out of a school bus, and just lingered on the shot for a real long time. Just like, fuck it, we spent all that money to put a goddamn plane in a school bus.
I kind of disagree with our friend who just asked the question. I think everything he wanted is on screen. It doesn't reek of incompletion. It kind of feels like, yeah, I did it.
I bet you he would have liked a few more squibs.
When people get killed in this movie, it is a ketchup explosion. Yeah. It is pretty amazing. Yeah.
I think the one thing he cut out, which he has said he cut out, was at the end, there was 5 minutes of Stephen King high-fiving everyone in the movie. And just being like, we fucking did it. Fuck yeah.
The credits were him just high-fiving everyone with their title underneath. That would have been amazing. Yes. Your question, your name of the movie, or your name of the movie and your question.
My name's Jesse. My name of the movie is Medium Underdrive. And I just... at the beginning, we kind of see that Emilio Estevez is a criminal, and so is everyone else who works there, but we don't know why. So that road twitch could be coming into a whole place of rapists for all we know. We have no idea.
Well, there are some people who have one star, which means they're on parole. And there's some people who have two stars, which I don't know what that means. It's their second parole?
Well, keep in mind, the Bible salesman, this is a real Stephen King, like, fuck religion. The Bible salesman is a straight-up molester.
Yeah.
Well, he gets, you know, he really gets slammed by the road twitch when she goes, eat my shorts.
Yep.
And then that's a Simpsons connection.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And Yardley Smith was like, eat my shorts. I'm going to tell that to Nancy Cartwright.
I think two stars on your time card means you're on parole and a military general. But do we ever find out why Emilio Estevez went to jail?
No.
Yeah, he was robbing. He was robbing a place.
He was stealing bread like John
Belshaw. And remember,
Belshaw?
The police shined a light on him, and he was like, and they make fun of him for being like an idiot robber.
All right, I see somebody here in a Mastodon shirt, and I'm going to ask you, sir, your name, your title, and your question.
My name's Adam. My title is Google Car, the movie.
Love it.
And speaking of Yardley Smith and her husband, baby Timothy Busfield, do you think that he kidnapped her, forced him to marry her, and she has Stockholm Syndrome?
So you're positing a Badlands scenario?
Oh, yeah.
There is something very wrong about their relationship.
Well... One thing that's sort of unexamined is, you know, why is their car not affected by this? He could be an alien.
Ooh.
Wow. And that's
he
how he's getting her pregnant with his fingers?
Was he putting microchips up her vagina?
He's so much older than her.
He's what?
He appears to be so much older than her.
She does look very and act very young.
Is it a Lolita situation? Is this like...
Yep, it is. This is a very thinly veiled Lolita Humbert Humbert situation.
All right, your name, your movie title, and your question.
My name is Liz. The movie title is Transformers 4, Revenge of the Fallen. And the question is, so they have a grenade launcher that they fire at a select few trucks. Why don't they fire the grenade launcher at the trucks and then get out?
Well, that's a great question.
Yeah, they also have grenades. They have tons of stuff that they could blow up all the trucks with. And it is unclear to me why they don't, and instead why they just fill those trucks up with gas.
Well, because the gun's on them. The gun is slowly on them. But if you push it real quick, it'll get disoriented.
Here's how to fix that. Pin, grenade, roll under machine gun truck. Kablam.
All right, I have a question over here in
your
the front.
Your question is unanswerable.
Your question, your name, your title, and your question.
Hi, I'm Megan.
The machines are here.
My title would be "You're an asshole."
Hey, man, be cool.
The title, the title of the bank that in the beginning. And my question is, I was very upset that Emilio Estevez and the Road Twitch got to have the bed in this weird truck stop, like road stop that was also a motel that had showers and that weird bathroom scene. And I'm just wondering why the boss seemingly had to sleep in the restaurant and then also woke up with the waitress who, she was buttoning herself up as if they slept together, even though she was with one of the truckers that got killed. I don't know what's
up. I think it's the end of the world and people are just hardcore boning, right? I mean,
that
was
a... Yeah, but I mean, think...
barrel guy get the bed, the one bed.
Yeah, and I would think that married couple on their first night of marriage, yeah, you know, is deserving of a bed.
Who has a good, a really good question? They believe in their question. Real. Oh, this guy right here. I take the waving of the hand. All right. Here you go. What is your question? Your name, your title, and your question.
My name is Maxwell, and it would be obtuse overdose.
Ooh.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Jason, June. Daily. You guys are hilarious. You're doing a good job.
Thank you.
That Andrew. Means everything.
These are
do you think we're doing this for you?
They're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. These are great. This is fucking
You're
great.
Having fun?
Here's your question. Go.
Okay, mainly June.
Remember, what? You told us this would be good.
It's good. It's good.
So far, it's terrible.
I want to get to all of you. I just wanted to know what your favorite death was. In the montage when the sprinkler montage when the kid's driving down the street on his bike, which has the illest music cue in the whole movie. So I don't know if like the dog, hair dryer.
All right, so what is everyone's favorite death? I'm gonna say death by Walkman.
I liked the lawnmower. I liked the lawnmower as a threat, because it was slow. So like I couldn't understand why the person had been killed by it.
I think I liked the blow dryer, ultimately.
I've already said I like that dog eating that ambulance to death. But I want to give a special shout out in that scene to the fact that that kid doesn't give a shit about any of it. He's riding around on his bike going, oh yeah, everybody got killed
in some
way,
huh? The way they reveal the news of his father's death, Emilio on the Road Twitch like refused to tell
him. Don't tell him.
And don't want anyone telling him, as though that's going to make it any easier when he finds out his father's dead.
Yeah, and when he arrives in the truck stop, there's, I mean, what, a baker's dozen people there.
And he's asked over and over, where's
my dad? Is my dad okay? Where's my dad?
Nobody answers.
And Bubba's like, oh, he's fucking straight up dead, dude.
Yeah.
He's like Deadsville, USA.
Bubba, not... great bedside manners, but a forthright guy.
He's got the information out.
All right, sir, your name, your title, and your question.
All right, I'm Charlie. I would call this Mad Max Fury Road Twitch. And do you think Vince Gilligan was inspired by this movie when he was making the Breaking Bad season finale with that automatic machine gun killing everybody?
From the car. Wow.
Spoilers for Breaking Bad.
Well,
wow.
I mean, that's...
That would be a humiliating thing for Vince Gilligan to have to admit.
The whole Breaking Bad was leading up to his homage to Maximum Overdrive. It wasn't about the meth. It was about that machine gun car. Yes.
To answer that question, please put your hands together for Vince Gilligan.
I want to just play this one clip before we read our second opinions here. This is Stephen King talking about the movie, and I think it was on the Good Morning America. Here we go. Hold on. I got to find where it is. Why am I not seeing it? Down, 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 down. Okay. Oh, there it is. Oh, no. There it is. Okay. It's pretty great. It's not a laugh riot, but it's at least interesting. Here we go. Knowing that he's on cocaine.
I'm on tour to promote this movie, Maximum Overdrive, and when we did dailies and something came off that might be really grotesque, and in some cases turned out to be much too grotesque to actually be in the film, you'd hear people laughing hilariously and they would applaud and stuff like that, because your first emotion in both humor and horror is this sort of childish delight.
But you don't have any desires to become, on a grandiose scale, to have this Stephen King Park of Horrors or anything like this. You don't want to elaborate further than the movies and the written word, do you?
No, I don't even think I want to make another movie. It's a primitive way to create. I mean, it's interesting for that reason, because you have to overcome so many odds. You know, I'd really like to have
what?
A pair of lizard skin boots.
Live lizards?
No, they can crawl a little bit at night or something like that.
Yeah, just move over carefully to the other side of the room, yeah. Right? Just keep you on the edge.
But actually, this whole image is just totally overblown. I have the heart of a small boy. I keep it in a jar on my desk.
I bet you get a lot of mileage over that one.
He just licked,
I've never used
he
that
licked
line
his
before
lips.
In my entire life.
Okay. Watch the telephone cable there, you know?
That will give me nightmares.
I have no trouble now imagining how this movie was made.
Oh, my God. So disturbing, so disturbing. Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there that have a differing opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
Second opinions.
You know how we do it now at the live shows. We don't play a theme song. You guys sing your own theme song. So let's hear it from the audience. Your interpretation of the second opinions theme. One, two, three, go. And great.
Next time, just elect a spokesman to really do it justice.
There was something terrifying about that.
All right, these are five-star reviews culled from Amazon. This one right here. Best movie ever. I can watch this movie all the time. If you like machines or work on them, you will like it. 5 stars. Title of that review, love it. It was fun to watch again with my grandkids and see what they thought of it when their parents watched it. People should just watch it to remember the past and how things have changed and the world is different. Title of that review is Fun to Watch and Remember. 5 stars.
I can think of at least one other movie that was made in the past.
This one simply by Nighttown. If you like AC/DC and trucks, you'll love this movie. 5 stars.
Not untrue.
By Jillian, this movie used to terrify me as a child, mainly because my father was a semi-truck driver. And I was often around semis. It's a great movie. I loved it even though I was terrified. And I still love it to this day.
That is a cry for help.
I don't think this is real, but I want to read it. This is by Zombie X. Zombie X writes, I just got out of jail for vehicular manslaughter. And this movie really relates to me. I think Stephen King got it right. And it really makes you want to get in your Mack truck and run people over.
So, if you feel the need to see some senseless violence, V-I-L-E-N-C-E, grab this movie and go crazy, 3 Z's. 5 stars. I don't think that's real. Finally, we'll end on this one. This is my most favorite movie. I especially E-X-P-E-S-A-L-Y. I especially like semi...
Especially.
I especially like semi-trucks. I like the Green Goblin truck. I had me scared to death. If, in capital, you like this movie, email me at tag88@buysville.net. 5 stars.
I'm going to say his inbox has not been flooded with emails.
Well, that is Maximum Overdrive. Is there anything that we missed that we did not speak about? Anything that you guys feel like worthy of talking about? Ooh, the bridge scene, the bridge bathroom scene.
In the
scene.
Beginning.
Wow, well, I didn't ask you, I'm asking them.
There's
guys,
a lot.
Clearly.
There's a lot.
Lot of
I mean, there
stuff.
Were people just killed by watermelons in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Watermelons and machines.
Not machines.
That bridge opening up is so slow.
So it's slow.
Like, when that biker falls into the water, I'm like, that's like a ride at like a Six Flags or something.
And somebody slides down the bridge, like the bridge is all the way up. And meanwhile, the truck is still on the middle of the two.
Yeah.
It's
like only this far up.
I just couldn't get over the AC/DC van. That was all I cared about in that scene.
Just out solving mysteries.
I have not mentioned the, I would say, rather offensive black character in the arcade.
Oh.
Yeah, I forgot about
I got
that.
A clip.
I don't know if we want to get into it, but pretty rough stuff.
Let's take a look at the Yo Mama scene. this is a character who finds himself really getting lucky when the cigarette machine starts spitting out cigarettes and the machine starts spitting out coins. He loads himself up with full of cigarettes and coins. And we get this. First of all, it's just, yeah. Oh. Pinball.
Your mom.
He's watching a pinball machine explode, and then he curses out the pinball machine. Then coffee starts flying at him.
I'm not sure what made the glass break.
Yeah, I don't know what made the glass break. And then he starts staring into a computer screen, a video game screen. He gets electrocuted. Now, what's interesting about that is that seems like the machines are more than sentient.
Yeah. The fact that he's getting electrocuted is interesting.
And the machines are playing like weird images and stuff like that?
That he's getting sucked into.
But that doesn't happen any other place. And that's the opening scene.
But maybe it's because the video game is called Star Castle and it's like the aliens and the UFOs are really... I don't know.
You're not even going to finish
I'm
that?
I'm done. I'm just so bored.
Not even going to say the rest of that?
I think in the truest form, that's probably the best way to end. Leaving a lot of things hanging. I don't know. That's a whole different movie.
Yeah.
It's not that good.
Anything else, Andy?
There was something else I wanted to... I wanted to talk about the farting scene, but people, you can talk about that amongst yourselves with your family.
That was one of the most disgusting scenes
it really was.
Of all time. Wet shit in an exposition scene.
No.
And I don't even think they were explaining anything of note.
No. And those fart sounds, like, those weren't fun fart sounds.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
they're disgusting.
They were all too real.
Sometimes when you read Stephen King in EW, he'll get really behind something that has, like, you're like, wait, this kind of really smart guy likes this? Like, weird thing? You know, it's like,
he'll just be really into. I can't even think of anything that he would like that is worthy of ire. But he'll like something really shitty, and I feel like that is something he found to be very funny. Yeah. He's like, oh, and I'm just farting the entire wetter, juicier farts.
Yeah,
like that's a real director's moment right there.
Wet, juicy farts.
Stephen King does it again. The master of fart noises.
Let's talk theaters this summer. Wet, juicy farts by Stephen King.
Is that guy's colon a machine?
I urge you all to check out Blake's article on Slash Film. It'll be up today. You can check it out on slashfilm.com. It's amazing. He interviewed many people involved in this film, and the stories are mind-blowing. Up there with Theodore Rex. Andy, your show is on currently right now on the Comedy Central.
Thursdays at 10 on Comedy Central.
It's a great time beloved show. It's a beloved show. I feel like it has been this season even better than the first, and the first is already great. And I'm so excited to watch more and see what happens.
Cool. Yeah. I actually believe, I don't know when this will air, but in my opinion, episodes 5 through 8 are the hot streak.
That's the hot. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to be definitely in the 5 through 8. I guarantee.
All right.
That.
Cool. I'm excited.
Jason, anything?
I'll be in I'm in a movie called Sleeping with Other People that comes out September 11th. So please go see that if you get a chance. Remember, it comes out September 11th. Just never forget. That's when the movie comes out.
June,
gotta talk to the marketing department.
you could check out Grace and Frankie, still on Netflix, still streaming. Streaming over there.
It's always streaming on Netflix.
Always streaming. Never not streaming.
And you can check out Crash Test. Me, Rob Hubel, on a bus with an audience going around. Andy Daly actually plays the voice of the bus, Bussy.
And, a machine.
you can check it out on Vimeo. And also, if you at home, not here in the audience, thought that we missed anything, leave us a correction and omission in our Earwolf message boards. A big thanks to Nate Kiley. A big thanks to Avril Haley. A big thanks to Cody up in the booth. Big thanks to Alec up in the booth. Everybody at Earwolf, thank you guys so much. Bye-bye. Have a great night. Bye-bye. Thank you guys so much for coming out. Quick announcement. We are doing another show here September 26th. Get your tickets now. There are a couple left. We have not announced it on the show, but I think we're almost sold out. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye. That wraps up our show. I want to thank everybody here at Earwolf who makes this show possible. I also want to thank Nick Kiley, who does our research, Avril Haley, who pulls all of our amazing clips, Leanna Waldron, who kills it on the design front. If you're not following us on Twitter at HDTGM, you're missing out on live show announcements and all the good stuff. Also, people, want to let you know that if you have a correction and omission, head on over to earwolf.com. Let us know what we missed. I'll read them on the mini episode, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Reminder, if you're still listening, I love you even more because you love to listen to the bitter end. Crash Test Show, go to that.com. That's crashtestshow.com. Check out what we got brewing up over there. Well, we got one thing brewing up. It's a special with me and Rob Hubel, Comedy on a Bus with Aziz Ansari, Aubrey Plaza, Rob Corddry, and a slew of other people that you love. And it's only $3.99. That's fucking cheap. So don't give me any flack. Don't give me any lip. Go check that out, and we'll see you next week for the mini episode.
Merry Christmas! I'm Ho-Ho, the naughty elf, and I know it's not Christmas, so I don't give a shit. I live at the North Pole where I have to make duck toys for shitty kids and it makes me wish I could kill myself, but I'm immortal! See you forever. The only thing that keeps me going is my favorite podcast with special guest Lauren Lapkus. Oh, it's so good, I love it, I want to marry it. Every week's like a whole new show where a different comedian is the host and Lauren is the guest. It makes me so excited I want to kill a cat and get its bones and eat them for dinner. Yum. Anyways, listen to this clip.
Your gaze is so
okay,
judgmental.
No. Inside, you have a perfect body. You just don't take care of it. If we could just carve you out of there, we'd have a perfect statue. But you down those flaming hot Cheetos and
so
don't.
Good.
They're disgusting.
So good.
You talk about my tan hands. Well, you have red fingers.
That's the sign of a true snacker.
Did you like that? Did ya? You'd better like it, or this year Santa's coming down your chimney and dumping coal over your dumbass house. I can make him do that. Check out with special guest Lauren Lapkus today at earwolf.com on Howl or your favorite podcast app, you dumb little butthole. Ho ho!
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.